Hey, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about Sprint. Will Sprint shine or fade? What's Sprint going to do? You got to wonder what's going on over there. But first, I want to thank Tower Safety, towersafety.com, for all your safety training, OSHA training, and drone training needs. Can you believe it? They do drone training now. It's a big part of the wireless industry, so get with it. Also, I want to mention, I have the Wireless Deployment Handbook, the LTE's Small Cells, C-RAN, and DAS Edition. But yeah, I did write a book for you guys to help you guys with deployment. And I'm coming out with more stuff. I also have scope of work tutorial and things like that. So wadeforwireless.com, take a look at the blog. This blog is called Will Sprint Shine or Fade? I believe most of you see that Sprint has been an interesting story, but the real question is, will they shine or fade? And that's what I'm asking you, because Sprint has made a lot of moves only to see their subscriber database shrink. I mean, they really don't seem to be moving ahead. And anyone who's in deployment, they are rolling out some of their 2.5 gigahertz network, but it's very slow, and you can tell their heart's not in it. I mean, they just don't seem to be making big advances. They're doing a little bit here, a little bit there, and it's just not making a big difference. So what about the network? That's what I'm interested in. Sprint's optimization effort really seems to be paying off, because they are hitting number one in a few root metrics things. Like, one is in Austin, where they have number one in download speed and performance reliability, which I think they tied for performance and reliability. And they also hit number one in DC for call performance and network reliability, which good for Sprint. I mean, the optimization effort they did, which is winding down this year, has really paid off. So they seem to be making a difference. Root Metrics seems to be liking Sprint a little more. You know, Verizon and AT&T still pretty much come out on top. And T-Mobile's making advances too. But, you know, Sprint's moving up. Now, what about the densification project? Mobility's taken that over. They've already started some applications, you know, up in Massachusetts, which I have a link in there about one of their, that shows one of their applications. And they are moving ahead with it. I mean, it's not sitting still. Sprint's definitely making inroads on that, or not Sprint, but Mobility. But you know what? Mobility is a tough road ahead, because they got to finance it and build it. They got their hands full. Sprint's basically going to sit back and try to tell them what to do. But hopefully, Sprint and SoftBank have a good plan, because, you know, Mobility has to be able to survive this. So I hope they have good financing. So how are they going to do this? You know, there's a whole ecosystem here that they have to worry about. Sprint made a few things. Now, according to the Recode article, which I have the link in there, wadeforwireless.com, Sprint's going to try to save money in a lot of different ways. For one, it says that they want to run away from their American Tower and Crown Castle assets, meaning they want to get out of the leases with American Tower and Crown Castle. Now, they have a plan to go to government land and all this other stuff, but basically what they want to do, they want to bypass American Tower and Crown Castle. Now, let's look at a few different things. American Tower and Crown Castle, for one, have ironclad leases. It's going to be very hard to get out of those leases early. So we can count that out. They're probably in there for well over 5 years, maybe 10 or 15 years, probably 8 to 10 years is probably what the standard lease is. And I'd be willing to bet that Sprint has a master agreement with Crown and American. It's not just something they can walk away from. So here's what I think they're going to do. I think that as far as the leasing goes, Sprint is going to let Mobility grow. They're going to let, or when I say grow, deploy. They're going to let Mobility deploy. Mobility will put more and more sites out there, and maybe as they do more sites, Sprint will realize that they can start turning down sites and getting out of some of those leases. Will it work out? Does it make sense? You know, I don't know. If they move the sites, it's going to cost a lot of money, right? They would have to see their payback, you know, within 3 years, let's say. Knowing Sprint, it would probably have to be within, you know, a year. 8 months is what I was going to say. So if they're going to move, it's a lot of money, because they have to decom and then they have to recommission it. I don't know if they'd put a new site out there. They'd have to get new backhaul to the new site and so on. So it's not a quick and easy process. But I think this is all part of Sprint's densification plan. I think what they're going to do is try to get Mobility to build out as much as they can, because remember, Mobility's financing this. So Sprint's trying to get the network for free. With that said, I'm sure it's not that easy. I'm sure the contract's a little more convoluted than that. Now, the other thing that Recode brings up are the expensive backhaul links that Sprint has. Now, every cell site has backhaul, right? They usually have fiber in today's world. Today's world, they have fiber. Sprint wants to go back to the future, meaning they want to go back to microwave links, which is fine if they're ready for it. So the backhaul, there's a lot of things to consider. With fiber, it's very expensive. Now, according to this report, they're paying over $1 billion a year to AT&T and Verizon for fiber. But that makes sense. You know, AT&T and Verizon have a lot of fiber backhaul. There was a time when Sprint had a lot of backhaul, but I think they sold that part of the business off. So, once again, they took the quick and easy path. I guess they sold off that part of the business. Or I don't know what happened to it. It spun off. I should research that. But anyway, for today's article, $1 billion into AT&T and Verizon's pockets. And what's Sprint going to do about it? Well, they want to go back to microwave, like I said. But the thing to think about microwave is they're going to have to pay more rent in the towers, assuming they're on towers. If they're on these poles, they'll probably have to pay more rent for the poles, I would imagine. I don't know what the deal is they worked out. But apparently it's cheaper than what they're paying Crown Castle and American Tower now. But they want to do microwave back to a common site. Now, something they're going to have to consider at this common site, they can't just keep the same backhaul in. Because now you might have, you know, let's say 4 or 5 cell sites going back to one site. So you're going to have to increase the backhaul there. So it's a higher monthly reoccurring there, higher OPEX. The microwave, the thing about microwave is you have to have line of sight everywhere. I know you could go with near line of sight or no line of sight, but you'll never get the bandwidth you truly want for a cell site. Now, if you're putting in a new site, that's great. You put it in, you turn it up, it's great. Maybe, you know, 6 months to a year when it gets loaded, you switch it over to fiber or a microwave backhaul. So there is a plan, there is a method to this, and it takes a lot of thought. But the reality is eventually you want line of sight somewhere if you're going to stick with microwave. The other thing you got to worry about is dispatch and weather. With microwave, bad weather could be an issue, especially the higher you go in the spectrum. You know, you're talking, well, 23 gig gets wiped out by rain a lot. But if you're going up in E-band, you got to really think about that. But you do get more bandwidth, so it's a good thing, right? The other good thing is for you deployment teams, it'll be a lot of work because all of a sudden you'll be putting in not only the site, but also the microwave backhaul. That was a lot of work before. I know Sprint's done it before and Verizon, AT&T, they all put in the backhaul to get sites up quickly. If you ever done Nextel work, they put in a lot too. And then Clearwire, they bring up Clearwire too. Anyway, let's move on. So the other thing Sprint talked about, you're probably thinking about in the back of your mind, is the in-band for backhaul. In-band meaning their 2.5 gig or whatever spectrum they have. They'll use the existing spectrum for backhaul. Now, I had to bring this up because the CFO for Sprint brought up that the chunks of 600 megahertz spectrum were not enough. He wants bigger chunks, and I get it. And I have the article in there at wadeforwireless.com. So their answer is not to bid at all. If you won't give us big chunks of spectrum, we don't want any. That doesn't make any sense. It's contradictory. The other thing is they're going to use their existing 2.5 gig spectrum for backhaul. That doesn't make any sense. Here you say, here in one, you know what I'm saying? 1 minute you're saying, you aren't giving us enough spectrum. We want bigger chunks. The other minute you're saying, so we're not going to bid at all. We feel no spectrum is better than some spectrum. And then not only that, but we're going to use our existing spectrum for backhaul. Is there any alignment over there at Sprint? You got to wonder. Let's continue with that. We went through not enough spectrum. We aren't going to bid at all. You know, it's no wonder John Legere of T-Mobile makes fun of these guys. I mean, honestly, what are they saying over there? Do they even talk to each other? Now, here's why, another reason I bring it up. And today you have carrier aggregation. What is carrier aggregation? I have an article in there. I'll have to put a link in there where you can actually use different carriers, especially in LTE, put them together and it looks like one big carrier. That's the big thing. I think what Sprint needs to do is go through an education plan here where they educate the executives on the big picture. They're already doing carrier aggregation. I know that for a fact. I think it's just 2 or 3 channel, but they're doing it. The other thing that Sprint seems to do, which I just find fascinating, is that they haven't made any aggressive moves towards VoLTE, at least none that I've seen. If they are, I don't know. I'm sure they're testing it and trying it out, but they haven't made an aggressive move like T-Mobile and Verizon. And even AT&T. Why are they going to VoLTE? For a lot of reasons. Are they getting more money for voice over LTE? Well, they thought they would. They're not. They're going to do it because in the big picture, they can decommission the 3G equipment. Now, the good news for Sprint, if they're going to keep 3G up for voice, is they got a lot of used equipment that's going to hit the market in a few years. So they can maintain their own network. They can have warehouses of the old CDMA equipment and just use that for voice. I mean, really, isn't that their plan after all? Just to keep the old crap up and running? Now, I get it. If you ever worked in public safety, systems that have been around since like the late 70s, early 80s are probably still out there running. A lot of them have been replaced here in, you know, about 2010. They started updating a lot. A lot of those systems ran 30, 40 years, but it's very hard in this competitive market to say, yeah, we have the same old system, but we're cheap, and maybe that's our plan. But the real cost, even though you talk to anyone that works at these carriers, they hate paying the OEMs any more than they have to. And I get that, you know, it's a business, but the reality is it's about features. That's why the carriers and the OEMs are so close, because they're always adding features. But where a lot of the money goes, even though you think it goes to the OEMs, a lot goes to rent. They pay a ton of money for tower space. The other thing goes towards taxes. They also have to pay a lot of attorneys for a lot of different things. They have marketing, stores. So when you look at a business, it's hard to pigeonhole yourself and just blame one person for the rising prices of the cell phones. Plus, the devices themselves, specifically Apple, you know, the iPhone, have become very expensive. So that's why these contracts are changing. You can just buy it outright. And let me tell you something, when you're laying out $400, $500, $600 for a phone, it's a lot different than when you just build it into the contract. But the carriers are tired of getting blamed for the high monthly reoccurring, although it doesn't seem to have changed. My phone's been paid for. I still feel like I pay way too much money for as much as I use my cell phone. But hey, I'll get back to the point here. So it's amazing with all these deployment issues, Sprint just doesn't seem to be aligned in my eyes. Maybe I'm missing something. I tend to read a lot. Maybe they don't think that everybody should read this stuff. So the other thing that I've seen that Sprint has done, they seem to be hiring a lot of regional presidents. Now, I'm just, for example, it seems like they have presidents for the South and the Northeast and all that, but they also hire very specific, what would you say, regional presidents? Like, for instance, here, let me just read. They're very regional, like Johan Chung for Northern California and Nevada, Jim Mills for Illinois and Wisconsin, Conrad Hunter for the New England region, and Karen Paletta for New York and Philly tri-state regions, which is cool. You know, it's very centralized, but it's a lot of presidents. And I think Verizon has taken a similar approach. Will this pay off? Will it align them? I don't know how the presidents, what they're going to oversee. Do they oversee the engineering and the marketing and the sales? Is it just sales and engineering? I wasn't clear on that, but maybe it'll give each market alignment and they can align with their common goals and growth. So is it a good thing? I don't know. It's a lot of salaries. That's all I know. I'm hoping somehow it works out. It's a lot of presidents. So if you go into Sprint and say, can I speak to the president? They'll say, well, which one? We've got like 100. We've got a ton of presidents. Which one do you want to talk to? The one for this market. Well, do you want the one for the market or the region? What is it? Anyone who's ever dealt with Sprint, their customer service has gotten a lot better, but it used to be horrible. I don't know what happened. Moving on. Will Sprint survive? Should they merge with T-Mobile? I have an article in there. Someone thinks they should merge with T-Mobile. Or maybe a cable company like Comcast could take them over. But the problem is Sprint has a lot of debt. I mean, they're not a very attractive takeover target. And besides, SoftBank just took them over. I would imagine SoftBank wants to get their money back somehow. How are they going to do it? I don't know. But T-Mobile seems to be making real inroads. I mean, they've stolen a lot of subscribers from Sprint. Sprint does a lot of these marketing ploys, but and maybe it's helping. I don't know, but it seems like T-Mobile's really moving ahead. We could always call Dan Hesse and ask him, because now he's over at PNC Bank. I think he's sitting on the board at PNC. So if you want to call Dan Hesse, just call PNC Bank. I have the link in there where he's at. You know, he ran it for years. I don't know. I won't lay blame here. I just want to see the company move ahead. I really do. I know it sounds like I'm griping, but in order for them to move ahead, you're going to have to point out all the problems they have, right? It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a good plan to run a network like this. It's not an easy thing. There are three carriers who appear to be doing it right: Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And there's one who consistently struggles. Now, why is that? I hope Marcelo Claure and SoftBank can turn it around. I really do. It just seems like it's painful. I really want Sprint to succeed. I want them to become healthy again, sooner than later. But they really need to start moving in a positive direction soon. Maybe they're already doing it and I just don't see it. All right, everybody. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention to what you're doing. See ya.